I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome, welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, every month we have our good friend Dr. Troy Sproul on the show. If you listen often enough, he's been on every month for years. He's one of our favorites. And we always talk about health and the healing process. Today, guess what we're going to talk about? After all these years, Dr. Troy's finally getting his way. We're talking colons, cholesterol, and crisis management. And I chose those three because of the alliteration, but I think we're going to find some way to make the three connect. But colons, you know this if you listen often enough, Dr. Troy carries a poop chart around in his wallet. I'm just saying. So, you know, you might want to hide the children during the, no, actually get them around. They're going to love this conversation. Gather the kids around. They're going to giggle. Nobody can talk colons without kind of acting like they're eight. I don't know why. Even behind the scenes, we've all been laughing our heads off because Dr. Troy gets all perky when he gets to bring out his little chart. We might even put the chart on the show page for those of you who might want to see it.
Oh, because, boy. It just got real.
It really did. It really did. And a quick caveat, we just got to say this. Dr. Troy is not here to diagnose you over the air. His advice is not meant to take the place of your physician. So always consult your own doctor before making changes to your health program. But this, we do this every month because we are passionate about your health and your healing process. We believe strongly that God wants you well and every step towards healing and health matters. And I think most people would be surprised at how much that their choices matter, how much you play a part in your overall health and healing process. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Sproul is founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. Behind the scenes, though, some of his really good friends, there's a bunch of us, we're praying that he opens up other offices in other parts of the state. So I believe God for big things. I'm just saying. So stay tuned on that one. He started Synapse over 26 years ago with a vision to bring an integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. And we sure love him. Dr. Troy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
as
look
always.
He can't wipe the smile off his face. We can't talk about your chart till we talk about the Bible, okay?
Right, yes, priorities. I agree with that.
Right. So tell me, is there a verse on your heart that you'd like to share?
Yes, this one comes from Isaiah 12. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation.
Oh, I don't love that.
Yes.
Say more.
Well, with this topic, I wasn't really, I wanted to go more with the crisis mm-hmm. part of this than anything else. And when I think crisis, I think about just going to God instantly. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter where you are right now on your journey, where you are with your walk. Right now, in particular, if there's confusion, if there's just fear, go to God, go to the Lord. He's our salvation. He will like just pick you up like a frightened child and hold you and take care of you. So focus is on Him right now, and He'll help direct you just in whatever crisis scenario you're in at any time of life.
Amen.
Yeah, it's just your number one go-to all the time.
Yeah, and He's always there.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like people have probably been in crisis mode for 20 months where, you know, I think there's a measure of crisis mode that people have almost gotten used to,
yeah.
You know, because there's just so much, so many variables, so many moving parts right now. And so go to God. He's with you and He's for you. And I want to open up. You can text your questions in specifically around colons, cholesterol, and crisis management. But if you have other questions too, we're going to feed those in. But for the first segment or two, we're going to talk about these topics. But we welcome your questions. You can text 877-933-2484. So I have a, let's start with cholesterol if we can. I've got a listener yeah. question. Listener says, my cholesterol before meds was over 300. It's now at 290. But now I have higher liver numbers. I couldn't take statins due to the effect on muscles. I have no buildup in arteries, some on the outside of them, but my heart and blood pressure, good. I'm 77 years old. What do you say?
So we understand a lot more about cholesterol now than we ever did, and we're going to paint a slightly different picture. So the way I have learned as far as how cholesterol works is it's kind of like if you have a full functioning artery, the red blood cells and all the fluid in the artery, they're flowing by within the artery itself. But occasionally things can nick the wall of the artery. When there's a nick that occurs, it's a damage, and then these immune cells called foam cells will actually send a signal for your liver to release cholesterol. And these cholesterol synthesis pools that are actually all over the body will release cholesterol into the bloodstream with the intent of patching that hole. Hmm. And so really the problem is not we have too much cholesterol. The problem is what's causing those nicks. Now, recently, in the last 2 years, they've discovered that in the nicks, these nooks and crannies, you can actually get a little bit of an infection, these tiny, tiny wow. microbes, and they can actually feed off of the cholesterol and cause more damage to the arteries. And so the arteries start to harden and stiffen because of the cholesterol. So really, it's not cholesterol's fault. It's just doing its job. So we put people on medications to reduce the cholesterol, which does and can reduce the stiffness of the arteries, but it's really not fixing the problem of these nicks. And if these nicks are left open and these other microbes get in there, you're getting an inflamed arterial endothelial wall. So there's a lot that can be done to actually measure that now. We actually have a machine at the clinic, the Mayo Clinic does as well, and so is the U of M, called an endopath that measures the arterial stiffness as well as the endothelial lining dysfunction. And we can tell when people have stiffer arteries for various reasons. So someone with cholesterol of 290, you start with diet and lifestyle and start there. And the thing that helps more than anything with the preventing the nicks are antioxidants. So we're going to just sum it up, and this is a very oversimplification, but if you have what's called free radical damage, the free radicals are causing a lot of the nicks, and they come from a lot of different things. Stress, dietary, over-exercising can even do it sometimes. We found that out with the aerobic revolution and people who are doing marathons. Antioxidants help to bind free radicals before they cause those nicks. In particular, vitamin E is very important for that when it comes to prevention of those nicks. And I think at some point they may even start measuring vitamin E levels for prevention of cardiovascular events more so than the cholesterol.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah. Wow. I've heard that sugar is a high inflammatory factor, but I've heard that sugar is a culprit for those nicks. And I would imagine fear is as well, because it opens up inflammatory response in your body, right?
Yeah. The key word you said there is inflammatory. So yeah. Picture it this way. When you have sugar, sugar can bind to hemoglobin. That's actually how they check you for diabetes, glycosylated hemoglobin. So hemoglobin A1C is really just hemoglobin with sugar stuck to it. The sugar can harden and literally cause nicks as it goes in through your circulation. So that's why we see cardiovascular problems with a lot of diabetics. And it's more complicated than that, but that's one aspect of it. Also, other things that are inflammatory, picture a sparkler going through your bloodstream and throwing off little sparks, and it's kind of like a fire that can burn the carpet in front of the fireplace. It same thing can happen when you get a little bit of this inflammation causing damage to the walls of the vascular system again. So you want to minimize inflammation. So that's the broad stroke, simple thing to say, minimize inflammation. That includes sugar, that includes stress, that includes chemicals that are foreign to your body, things in your food that your body doesn't know what to do with. And then things that don't get digested properly, like acids and hardened sugars or glycosylated proteins, they can circulate through the body and cause a lot of damage. So we want to combat that with good antioxidants, which you get from fruits and vegetables. And I just think it's healthy for people to have organic vegetables with every meal, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, have an organic vegetable and really get good at making creative Brussels sprout recipes. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just something.
What are your go-tos for your veggies if you were to try to have them every meal?
Brussels sprouts.
Is that right?
Yeah. I love Brussels sprouts with turkey bacon. That's one of my mm-hmm. favorite things.
That's yummy.
And I'll even drizzle a little honey over top mm-hmm. of that. And
walnuts are in the, good in there,
you can
too.
Do walnuts mm-hmm. too. Yep.
I do.
I don't go there. It's a little crazy.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I heard heard walnuts are good brain food.
They are. They're very good brain food.
But you don't need any more brain food, do you?
Yeah,
that's just what you're saying.
No.
You're calling me stupid.
No.
I knew it. No, so back to this gal. My cholesterol before meds was over 300, now 290. High liver numbers, couldn't take statins due to the effect on muscles. No buildup in arteries. Some on the outside, heart, blood pressure are good. Would this be a genetic high cholesterol? What's the deal here?
It could be. So even with genetic cholesterol, which is there are a percentage of people that have a genetic cholesterol issue, they can try, so statins can work with them. And so there are a few circumstances where even in functional medicine, we keep them on statins because that's the best thing. There's also natural statins, usually made from red rice yeast extract, that work very well. Either way, both of them can deplete CoQ10 internally, so you have to be careful. So if you can't tolerate the statin, a lot of times that's just because you need CoQ10 in conjunction with a statin.
Hmm.
The other side of that is using natural red rice yeast extract can help. But again, that's just the cholesterol management side of it. If you identify the inflammatory side of it, the foam cells will stop sending the signal to the liver to create more cholesterol. So really you want to identify the inflammation, work on that. Regardless of genetics, if you get the inflammatory component, then the genetics won't need to be addressed even. So it's a heavier lift and a longer path, but that can be done.
Boy, that's awesome. We're going to pause here. A couple questions. You can decide which one you want to, you know, you kind of explain what causes high cholesterol. And truly, the inflammation is sort of the culprit. Other things we can do to avoid statins and other good foods to bring down cholesterol. I think you kind of touched on all those. So if there's any, you know, any other words you want to say about it when we come back, we'll do that. We're going to move down to colons. Are you so excited? The time has come. We're finally talking about colons. Send your questions if you've got them. No pictures, please. I don't want any pictures. Text 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. Dr. Troy Spurl is on the show once a month. He is CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. Located in Eagan, Minnesota, he does have patients that come from all over the country and sometimes around the world. And we're so blessed to have him. He's a great friend of the show. Today, we're just at least kicking off the conversation talking about colons, cholesterol. I'm such an immature person. I giggle when I say colons. I totally grow up when I say cholesterol and crisis management. So before we move on to colons, you were saying something during the break about managing sleep connected to our sugar cravings, because sugar does cause an inflammation response, which can cause issues with cholesterol. So say a word if you would.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. Other than the diet and the vegetables, I'm a huge fan of getting good restorative sleep, because that's one of the things that really deteriorates with each decade, passing decade. And it's not just how much are you staying asleep. And if you're medicating to go asleep, we now know that it doesn't get you into that deep level of sleep, not that restorative level of sleep. So the people that can get the deepest sleep really do well with managing a lot of their inflammatory problems, sugar cravings being one of them, and even cholesterol levels. And I'm a big, big fan of, especially right now, fasting and prayer, but fasting and then just see what happens with your sleep, because a lot of times food inflames our gut. Our gut is where the majority of our chemicals that help with brain chemistry to get us into deep sleep are made and used. So fasting, if you fast and you're on a 2-day, maybe 3-day fast, by the second day, if you're just exhausted, but you can sleep a full 8, 9, 10 hours, then that tells you that some of the food you've been eating is interfering, causing inflammation, disrupting your sleep.
Interesting.
So I love fasting and prayer, but for this in particular, fasting is just so healthy for us.
So would that be a water fast or?
Water fast, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. John writes in, so enjoying today's show. One more cholesterol question. I'm on a statin to reduce my cholesterol, and it is for life. Sometimes I notice short-term memory issues. Is there anything that can be done? Thanks so much.
Well, the first thing I would say is a lot of people are told statins are for life, and that may be true, may not be true. So you can work with your doctor on alternatives. And just see if you've worked on diet and you've worked on other factors, then it might be, like I said, we keep certain people on statins. to manage some of the brain fog, CoQ10 is where you got to start, because CoQ10 helps with production of what we call ATP. ATP is used quite a bit first in the heart to keep the blood circulating. It's what gives the power behind all the cells. The next highest one is the stomach to make stomach acid, because it actually takes a lot of energy to make stomach acid, and then it's the brain. Mm. So we see challenges with the upper GI system and then the brain. So I would start with the CoQ10 and keep an eye on the other factors, because there's a lot of things that can affect cognitive function. In fact, there's a great book called The End of Alzheimer's. If you want to read it, he identifies the 37 different paths that can start to cause cognitive decline and eventually Alzheimer's disease. And so if you start working on it early, you can actually do a lot to prevent those. Mm-hmm. And we've worked with people in their 50s who have a horrible genetic history of Alzheimer's and had great turnarounds.
Yeah. And one of those factors is mold. I'll just tell you.
It is.
You can be exposed to mold. It'll affect you and you'll have cognitive decline. And the great thing about that is you can treat it and deal with it.
Yes.
But John, just one more thing I want to say to you is, my hubby was told you're on statins for life. You know, he's a cancer survivor, and he's got a whole family history, multi-generations of cholesterol issues. And he and Dr. Troy made a goal. I got to get off this stuff. And he worked hard, and he's off of them. And it's possible. So I think it's easy to accept news, and sometimes it is the case, but not always. So I just think it's worth asking God and seeking out help and seeing what happens. Okay, colons. Okay, what do you say? Talk about the bathroom experience. What do you want to see? I mean, not that you want to see it. But
I don't want to see it, just so we're clear. I don't need pictures, like Susie said.
Yeah.
But colon health is very, very, very important. So colon is where a lot of our bacteria is, and it's basically our waste management system, if you will, with some recycling built in. And so many people don't realize that having a bowel movement after every meal is what's considered normal. Mm. So if you eat 3 times a day, you should have 3 bowel movements a day. That's normal. And some people, I've had patients who literally have a bowel movement once a month.
Wow.
And that's not normal. If you have lymph issues, meaning your body swells and or you're storing fat and you eat right and you're gaining weight, a lot of times you have to start in the bowel, because a lot of my obese patients that I would say actually eat pretty healthy have bowel issues. And there's a lot of different things that can come from that. And the bacterial imbalance, they have great, great labs now that measure your stool, and which is your bowel, your poop. So I was trying to get Susie this. She usually giggles when I say that, and she didn't this time.
I'm trying to be grown up here.
She's doing great.
Thank you.
And so these labs actually measure the actual bacteria, and they'll look at viruses, they'll look at parasites, they look for a lot of different things. And they've gotten so good at this science now, they've linked growths of these imbalanced bacteria to influence our genes that then predisposes to things like MS, Parkinson's, and other neurologic disorders. And so being very, very proactive, we can measure our stool, correct that with diet or sometimes medications or sometimes herbal products that help to bring back the right bioterrain, if you will, for the good stuff to grow. And a lot of times, the analogy I always give, it's like planting a garden. If the pH of the soil is good, your crops grow instead of the weeds. If the pH is bad, weeds grow instead of the crops. Same thing with our bowel. If the pH is good and the soil is good, our good bacteria grow. If the pH is bad and the soil is bad, then we get opportunistic infections, fungus, parasites, bad bacteria, SIBO, things like that. So our bowel health is very, very important. And they call it our second brain for a reason. It influences a lot of what happens up in our brain. And that's mostly the small intestine and then the large intestine. Our bacteria affects our hormones more than anything else in the body other than hormones themselves. So we see a significant change in women's hormones when they get their bowels properly balanced.
Really?
Yes.
Wow,
B vitamins, and there's different things that occur within the bowels. One called beta-glucuronidase that helps with recycling and increases in these areas will cause inflammation or no inflammation. They'll predispose you for higher risk of certain cancers in the bowel and diverticulitis and other things like that. So I'm a huge fan of bowel studies that look at all the bacteria and then gives you something to actively work on.
You know, remember many years ago, one of my aerobic classes back when I used to teach, a nurse, we were having just a kind of a group conversation at the end of the class, and a nurse had said, and I think I was late 20s, early 30s at the time, and she said to the whole class, she said, if everybody would take Metamucil starting at a young age, we would wipe out about 80% of the sicknesses we see in later years. Now, I know there are cleaner forms of Metamucil. I mean, I actually still take Metamucil, but I just thought that was an interesting piece of advice. Now, I know you're coming from a functional med standpoint, but she is making a really good point about the importance of fiber, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my mentors, Dr. Myron Wentz, is an Albert Einstein Award winner, for International Award for Lifetime Achievements in the Sciences. And he's an immunologist and a microbiologist, double PhD, very, very smart man. His quote is, life does not begin until 20 grams of fiber. All of
you
his
nerds are so weird.
Yeah, he's so cool. So he got it right. And
wow.
And we see fiber. So we need prebiotics, and which means certain food that that the good bacteria can feed on. But we also need fiber to keep things moving, so to speak. And there's two types of fiber, soluble and insoluble. And soluble is the one that pulls the water in, and that's good. And so it'll help expand the bowels. That helps keep our muscles very, very active, because we need our bowels. It has a different nervous system. It's called an enteric nervous system, and they're going to squeeze to kind of push things out, and that's very important. If we don't get enough fiber, you don't get that constant swelling and then relaxation, swelling and relaxation. The other one is insoluble fiber. Insoluble fibers, it doesn't attract water, and it's harder. And that's the fiber that kind of scrapes up against the sides of the walls, cleaning the walls. So just if you picture it, I guess, is the way to say it, you have to keep those walls clean. The thing is, if those walls are inflamed, their fiber can become irritable to people. So I want to say it this way. Fiber's job is to rub up against the sides of the walls. So picture a massage therapist who's just giving you a massage in your arm or something, and the massage loosens the muscles. It feels good. But if you go out and get a really bad sunburn and then go for a massage, all of a sudden that massage doesn't feel so good. If your bowel is inflamed, the massage of the insoluble fiber doesn't feel so good, and it'll start to contract. So some people will consume fiber and feel bad, bloated or even crampy and off. That means you've either got inflammation or you took too much fiber. You got to work your way into it so that it becomes good and consistent. When you're eating well and you don't have the inflammation, you can have multiple movements a day and feel great.
Wow. We're going to pause here. When we come back, question of what if the bathroom experience, and again, forgive me for being graphic, but we are talking about poo, but if it's like you've got this, how do I explain it, like a little narrow, like a little snake.
Yeah.
So you know there's buildup in the colon. And I will say a good friend of mine, my old college roommate, had that repeatedly. And I know this isn't always the case, but she ended up with colon cancer diagnosis.
Yeah.
So that went on for a long time. And then she got some tough news. And thank the Lord she's strong and healthy now. But I think it's just good to pay attention to those things. So let's talk about that on the other side.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
Talking to Dr. Croy.
After the break.
And I see some questions coming in too. We'll be back in a minute. Song. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Having a really wonderful time with Dr. Troy today. Why? Because we're talking about poop. I'm sorry. I hope I don't get fined, but we're talking about colon health. And Neil's already on his way home, so I don't think he's going to be back in the studio to write me up. But anyway, this has been a really important conversation. We're talking cholesterol. We're talking colons. And we'll talk a little bit about crisis management in just a little bit. But before we get to this question about Metamucil, I set the question up before the break about when the bathroom experience, when your bowel movement looks like a snake instead of a full, healthy, you know, stool, what does that mean? It means there's buildup in the colon, but sometimes, like I said with my college roommate, ended up with colon cancer. I know it doesn't always mean that, but what does a person do if it's repeatedly that's the case in the bathroom?
Yeah, it absolutely doesn't always equal colon cancer, so I want people to hear that because you can get that just from being in a stressed state.
Wow.
So if you're in fight or flight, you are not in rest and digest. So the nerves that help support that part of the system, the vagus nerve and the parasympathetic nervous system, they will send signals to the bowels. And then, like I said before, there's this reflective enteric nervous system. But if you're in fight or flight, which is a prolonged stress response, if you're being chased by a tiger, that should be short-lived. But if we're in constant fight or flight, then we can't be in rest and digest. So it's a slightly decreased nerve support to the bowels, so that could be part of it. The real problem is you're not eliminating properly. And I'm going to say it this way. People know the saying, you are what you eat. The reality is you are what you don't eliminate. Hmm. And so if things are just staying around for too long, then you're not getting rid of it, and you might be reabsorbing certain things. So in our colon, things can get in and be reabsorbed through the walls of the colon and can cause dysfunction because they're really not supposed to. We have electrolytes and we have water that gets pulled out, but we shouldn't be seeing a lot of other things be recycled that way. And so that's how we start to see these changes in the cells of the colon that eventually lead to colon cancer. And there are different things that predispose those risk factors. I will say of just the one thing, interestingly enough, the one natural ingredient that has the greatest single impact on colon cancer other than having bowel movements is vitamin D.
Really?
Vitamin D by itself was found to decrease colon cancer by 19%, which doesn't sound like a lot, but one product to decrease a cancer like that, that's a significant number actually. And so vitamin D helps with our immune system. And the lining of our gut is our immune system. So keeping your gut healthy, getting the proper elimination is part of it, getting out of a stress state. And the stress can be mental stress. It can also be a physical stress like injuries or an internal inflammatory problem within the gut or even infections. And so a lot of different things can lead to the colon health.
So is it kind of constricting when you're under stress? And that's,
yeah, absolutely.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Which then it does connect with crisis management.
It actually does.
I mean,
yes.
I just thought it had a nice ring to it, but there is a connection, right?
There is in that one, yes.
And we've touched on stress management before, but someday we should do a whole show on that because people are so amped up and under such high stress. And this is actually something you can do something about
absolutely.
By taking deep breaths, slowing down, telling yourself a different story. But you love this question that came in. Let's see here. She says, I've had issues with SIBO and found Metamucil gave me heartburn. Naturopath had me switch to cellulose. She said that Metamucil fed SIBO. What do you say?
So they're right. So this is why. So with SIBO, it stands for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And remember, most of the bacteria is supposed to be in the large intestine. So we don't want a lot of bacteria in the small intestine. So if the pH in the large intestine starts to change and all of a sudden the pH that's supposed to be in the large intestine is slowly creeping into the small intestine, we're going to start to see things growing in the small intestine that should be in the large intestine. So the bacteria can migrate. The small intestine is where we're supposed to absorb nutrients. The distal part of the small intestine is where the majority of things like iodine are absorbed. So SIBO long-term can turn into a thyroid dysfunction issue because you can't absorb the iodine from the diet. So when she takes Metamucil, and the reason she's saying it feeds the SIBO is because fiber is good for bacteria, but SIBO happens to be bacteria growing in the wrong location. Now, there might be some other methane-producing and hydrogen-producing bacteria in there, but is basically in the wrong location. So you don't want to do fiber in the beginning until the SIBO is addressed. And so you basically have to do what's called a low FODMAP diet, which is low fermented food, low fiber food, and then kill off the bacteria in the small intestine. Then you have to reestablish the pH of the intestinal tract. You do that actually at the same time by improving the stomach acid, the release of stomach acid. So the most common cause of SIBO is either excessive antibiotic use or hypochloridia, which stands for low stomach acid, and that can come from zinc deficiencies, histamine imbalances, or again, vagal nerve compromise. We see this with Lyme disease all the time. And so the vagus nerve stops producing stimulating the parietal cells of the stomach to release the acid. So sometimes people have to take betaine-HCL or stomach acid enzymes with each meal to prevent the SIBO from coming back. And so there's a whole scenario there, but you can't do fiber. If you react to fiber with heartburn, you probably have SIBO. That's one of the things.
Wow.
Sometimes we see that with peptic ulcers and gastric ulcers as well. And again, if you have a peptic or gastric ulcer, you'll notice occasionally dark black stool come out. And that's a sign that you're bleeding in that area as well. So fiber, even if it's a small amount, should be helpful. If it's not, they're in a very, very small amount, then SIBO is one of the first things I'd look at. And you can tell if you have low stomach acid by some lab work. If your total protein, albumin or globulin, is off in the lab work, that's a potential sign of low stomach acid. Mm. And if you take enzymes or take stomach acid and you feel better with the meal, that's a sign that you are also deficient.
Wow. Yeah. One of the things I love about functional medicine is it's got a focus on preventative care, where you're looking at, you know, things that are popping up that maybe aren't a really big deal, but they could become a big deal if you neglect them long enough. So I really love that we can have these conversations and things to address. This dear listener says, I've had diarrhea for 6 months. Testing was negative. Some diet, dairy-free, gluten-free, FODMAP diet made no difference. Colonoscopy clear. What's left to consider?
Parasites.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, and that's one of those, I talked about the stool analysis, the labs. My two favorite ones are called the GI Map and the Gut Zoomer from Vibrant Americas. And GI Map is, I can't remember the company that does GI Map, but, might be Great Plains Labs, but, GI Map and then, the Gut Zoomer. And they measure, you're not always going to catch a parasite. So I will say that it's really, really challenging to catch parasites. And so some people will just do a parasite cleanse regardless. If there's been international travel, then for sure I would look at parasites. But we've seen just in the last week, we've caught two parasites from people who have not been traveling that are known to populate the food that gets shipped in here from out of country.
Wow.
So even if you haven't traveled, it's very, very common to actually get some parasites. And so we do measure that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. And unclean water, too.
Unclean water, unclean food are the two most common sources for that. And then sometimes swimming in lakes and other stuff like that can do it, too.
Yeah. All right. Several listeners texted and want to know where to get the poo test.
That's the two, the GI Map and the Gut Zoomer.
Oh, that's it. Okay. All righty. Yep,
those are the two. Those are the labs that do it. You have to, you'll have to see a doctor who will order from those labs, but most docs will, traditional and functional, will be able to order from there.
Other fibers you like in addition to or instead of Metamucil?
There's a lot. I know we're not supposed to use brands and stuff, but I like a blend of soluble and insoluble. And so some people, though, can't tolerate both right out of the gate. So I just tell people to look for what they can handle, but make sure it's doing something. You've got to see a net gain from that. Mm-hmm. And some people need magnesium with the fiber. So fiber in the morning, magnesium at night can be a good path for people because the magnesium helps you sleep and it pulls water into the bowel. So very important to look at both sides of that. But my favorite fiber blends are the ones that bring in insoluble and soluble and use multiple sources of apple pectins and different things as well.
Very good. All right. So I've got several questions from the same listener. Is the keto diet beneficial for cholesterol?
Yes, most of the time. There is one of my favorite researchers she's from the UK, and she has published a lot of research in the last 2 years on the ketogenic diet and its impact on diabetes, blood sugar control, and cholesterol management. So even with, again, genetic variables that are really, really hard, the ketogenic diet is actually beneficial. It can just be challenging to follow and stick to.
Right. And it's not really for everybody?
It's not. No.
Okay. colon question. Could you ask Dr. Troy, what are natural ways to improve gastric motility secondary to a T11 spinal cord injury?
That one's tough. You had me until a spinal cord injury part of it. So sleep is the number one thing that increases, deep sleep increases gut motility. 5-HTP and some other herbals, some other nutrients can help with that. However, a spinal cord injury, we have to see what's working. We don't know if the nerve is not firing to the muscle, there's nothing we can do, basically. So in aspects like that, I look and see how much motility do we actually have. So we take our stethoscope, we listen for bowel motility, and then we try and stimulate different areas and see if that increases bowel motility. So we can actually measure, just like a weak muscle, we would actually listen with our stethoscope to see what can I do to potentially increase the bowel sounds, which means we're actually improving the gut motility. There is a product out there called Motilopro that can help with the nutrient side of it, but that won't matter if we don't get the nerves firing properly. And the vagus nerve and the brainstem nerves that help regulate that have to go through the spinal cord. That's why a spinal cord injury is a big deal. So without doing a full neuro workup, we really don't know. Something like that, we'd look at different reflexes, pinwheel reflexes on their abdomen, and just see if there's anything to work with. We have had in the past improvement if the nerves are firing. Then we can start exercising those nerves in a different way. And we've used things like massagers, TENS units, subthreshold TENS can be used for some of these. There are surgeries and implants that where they're actually doing surgical interventions and putting the same type of thing where they're constantly stimulating the spinal cord at that level. They're working on a lot of stem cell stuff, nothing that would be ready for the public, I don't think, but we keep an eye on that research just because our head researcher used to do is stem cell research. And so there's a lot there, but that's a tough one without doing a full eval.
All right. Say before we go to break, a word about water's role with cholesterol and colon health.
So we need water in our colon. If you're dehydrated on the inside, your body will try and get that water to the cells. However, if we don't have water in the bowels, we don't eliminate all that well. And one of the main causes of constipation is dehydration. And so we have to keep the water inside the cells. And I'm just going to say it this way. One of the ways that I teach this, and I learned this from one of my mentors, is the solution to pollution is dilution. So if you're polluted on the inside, your body's going to try and dilute it. So you're going to swell up, you're going to get bloated, if you will, and then it's not going to be there for the bowels, which means more pollutants will be reabsorbed. Again, another reason why I love fasting and why I love natural detoxification processes where we're flushing things out through the bowels and getting rid of a lot of those toxins and then not putting them back in food or whatever it is. We want to stay as healthy as possible with the food choices we put in there. And if we don't, remember, our immune system has to swim inside of us to protect ourselves. On our webpage, if you go to our videos, I put a video on there that I put together years ago, probably 15 years ago. It's called Your Immune System Under the Microscope, and it shows your immune system swimming in water, attacking bacteria, viruses, even killing oncogene or cancer cells. And so it's important to know that if there's not enough water, then your immune system can't defend itself properly. So water is crucial for cell signaling, for a lot of things to keep us healthy.
Wow. And how much water should a person drink? Half their body weight?
Well, that's a general rule, yes. Half their body weight in ounces. So if you weigh 100 pounds, please don't drink 50 pounds of water.
I hope you know that.
Yes. So if you weigh 100 pounds, 50 ounces of water, okay, generally speaking. But here's my caveat to that. Again, if you drink 50 ounces and pee out 50 ounces, you're not really retaining it. We need the water to get into your cells inside the body. So it's important to get out of a stress state, if you will, and get the water coming out through sweating and other areas as well. So you're actually using it. We want it kind of flushing your system out. So drinking plenty of water, but sweating is really important. If you're drinking water and you're getting up three times a night to go to the bathroom, I don't like that. So drink it earlier in the day. Drinking water cannot interrupt your sleep at night. So that you have to balance those things. So generally speaking, we tell people half their body weight in ounces unless it disrupts their sleep. Then we have to figure out some other things to get them sweating first and get some the water going in different areas so they're not putting the load on their bladder and weight and wrecking their sleep.
That's so important. It's all such a delicate balance. Got a couple more questions. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into crisis management with our last segment, but also just a word about who needs core minerals. You know, it's interesting because I went through some testing at your clinic and one of your doctors revealed, you know, I was very low on that and I'm always thirsty and I drink a lot of water, and she started me on something called Element Tea, and it's like an electrolyte drink that tastes like salt. And my body loves it. I felt like instantly. And people have been contacting me who have Lyme and mold issues, whose doctors discovered the same thing for them. And as soon as they got on some minerals, it's like they came back to life. Yeah. Now, that's not for everybody. So it's just so interesting how everybody's so different. I want you to maybe speak to that. Who needs that kind of thing? And then we'll get into some crisis management in about 6 minutes. So we'll wrap up all of the problems in the world in 6 minutes flat. Not, but we'll be back. All right, back in a minute. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Every month we have our good friend Dr. Troy Sproul on the show. He's founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. And today we've been talking about colon, cholesterol, and we haven't talked yet about crisis management. And I promise I'm not making this up, but another poo question came in. See, this is a hot look at, he's smiling so big. He's been waiting for us to tackle this. And we actually probably are going to put a little poo chart on the show page just for fun, and we'll see what happens. But anyway, this dear listener says, just getting in my car, can you have Dr. Troy describe again what a healthy stool should look like? And just even the way they asked it shows how mature they are, because I'm giggling on the inside, but they're asking it in a very grown-up way. So yes. I think you should answer them, right?
So I will say, if you guys look up Bristol stool chart, that is the chart that we use, and you want a 3-4 on that Bristol stool chart. So it should be well formed, it should be of decent diameter and of decent length. And so the chart goes through the different, you have everything from the rabbit pebbles to the complete diarrhea, and then right in the middle is what a perfectly formed, even S-shaped curved stool can look like. And I've had people, I just, one of my favorite patients was in today, and advanced in age, I'm going to say, and she said for the first time in her life, in her 70s, she's having regular bowel movements. And she didn't realize how big of a deal it was. Wow. And that's like music to my ears, because I know that's a foundational component to healing. So there's other things that come with that, other benefits that come with that. But we celebrated that.
Well, and it's like a landmark in her health. So, and when you're doing all these little things and suddenly you start to see, well, normally this wouldn't happen for me and now it is. I just think that is a really big deal. Okay, this dear one says, so sorry about this gross question, but since we're talking about it, she writes, drinking coffee immediately produces blackish mucus in the morning. What's that about?
In the stool. So there might be, so coffee is a stimulant. So a lot of people actually use coffee to induce a bowel movement, which can be good or bad. But if that doesn't happen in the absence of coffee, not 100% sure on that. Because black usually means there's some blood or something going on. So that's usually an upper GI ulcer or an upper GI problem when it's black. So, or it's long-term. I would need to know a little bit more there. If it's every single day, then that's something's not quite right there. But if it's every once in a while, then it could be the reaction to coffee or an ulcer or something like that.
Because coffee's very acidic. There could be some kind of little ulcer.
And it's a stimulant. So if it doesn't happen in the absence of coffee, are they having regular bowel movements? Right. There would be more questions. I'd have to get an accurate answer on that one.
Alrighty. Okay, crisis management. We've got about, I don't know, five minutes left, if that. So, but really, let's just talk about that, the role that it plays, the way that we handle stress, how that impacts our health, and possibly how it impacts our colon and our cholesterol. What do you say?
Well, if we don't manage the crises in our world well, it will impact our health. So the way of saying it, in functional medicine, we look to measure what's normal function, and any deviation from that we call dysfunction. If there's dysfunction, that eventually leads to disease. So what causes dysfunction? Stress, mental, chemical, or physical stress. Crisis is basically something's going on that you are having a challenge managing, or it's above what your threshold is. So it means that you don't have the capacity right now to handle what's there. So the good news with that as Christians is that we know that we always fall short, and we know that we've got the grace and we're covered. And so that is the first place to start. It doesn't matter if it's a physical, mental, or chemical crisis. You start with Christ, and he covers us. He gives us that grace mm-hmm. when we fall short. Because mm-hmm. the fact that we're in a crisis means that you don't have the capacity to handle what's before you. So thank God.
I love that.
Thank God that he's there for us.
Yeah.
Then we can go into some of the physical things that we can actually do with our life to say, okay, now God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to work on? And it's usually working on something with ourself. And I'm going to say it this way. We had every week, my staff and I, we take extra time to train and to learn and to build our knowledge base. And this week I had all of us just spoke about how can we make our jobs more simple and tell us a little bit about what your job is, even though we've worked together for years now.
I love that.
And it was very eye-opening because we all realized that our nutritionist basically was talking about her challenges were helping people with their relationship with food. Our health coach was helping people with their relationship with themselves and God. And the chiropractors were saying we help people get out of a stress state. And our nurse and nurses were talking about how she teaches and coaches. Everyone realized after we had gone around the table that whether we do something physical or otherwise, we're helping them with their mental state going through the challenges they're going through. And so that mindset and that component of their relationships with their brain and how they see the world, themselves, everything is addressed no matter what their specialty was.
That's amazing.
And then we kind of sat back and went, huh. And so it becomes something that we can increase our knowledge with the biochemistry and the books and all that stuff as much as we want. But if we don't understand how to work with people, relate with people, bring them to be focused with the relationship with God and themselves, then we're not really setting them up for true healing, for success.
Wow. You know, the actual term of crisis management, really most people, you know, out in the general public look at it. If there's a crisis, let's say there's a tornado or hurricane, and organizations step in and help manage through the crisis. But, you know, what I was talking about is just in our life, there's times crisis is thrust upon us. There's other times through our ignoring, something finally gets our attention. Maybe it's a relationship, it's your health. And I know as a, you know, you do chiropractic adjustments, there's times maybe people wait way too long, so the muscles are spazzing around their spine or whatever. And I say all that to say, as I was praying and prepping for this, and we're really wrapped up on time here, but thinking about someone who maybe has been just playing whack-a-mole because they've been maybe just reacting to all the things in their lives. And God wants you to get to a place where you're seeking Christ, you're paying attention to what it's bringing up, and you address those things because he wants you to start dreaming about what he wants to do in your future. He wants you to create some space for your health. And I know you're super passionate about that. We just got about a minute and a half, but maybe speak to that person because maybe they think, I can't get there from here, but they actually can.
Absolutely they can. And everyone, we all have... we're all made the same way. We're made in his image. And so when we take care of the temple we've been given and we start to clean the clutter, all of a sudden human potential just becomes more and more and more. And you'll be shocked what you're capable of. And I've mentioned a couple times on your show, and I wrote a book about it maybe many years ago, 22 years now, but I was told at one point in my life that I'd be in a wheelchair the rest of my life. And I believe if I'd listened to those doctors that I'd be in a wheelchair. Instead, I get to be with people and run a clinic and doing the things I learned to get my own health back. That's two different lives.
That's
my potential
exactly right.
Of what I would have been doing versus what I'm doing now is completely different.
Well, thank you for being a dreamer and for stewarding, your calling, because it's absolutely amazing to see. And I'm just believing God's just getting started. But we both feel very passionate about is people getting healed, getting healthy, and then being mobilized into your high calling. Because just as you went from potential of wheelchair to helping so many people, each one of us has just incredible potential if we partner with God and see what He'll do. So,
absolutely. You've got a gift, and you just have to get out of our own way.
Yeah, get out of our own way. Boy, this went so fast. I can't wait till our next conversation. Hope you found some encouragement here. Wow. Good conversation. Have a really blessed day, and we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.